You're listening to In the Moment on SDPB. I'm Lori Walsh. U.S. Representative Dusty Johnson held the Level Up Youth Conference earlier this week. There, intrepid high school students asked the politician and a panel their political questions. Jonathan Ellis and I joined the conference as part of a media panel moderated by the congressman. We're going to dive into what we shared with the students and what they shared with us. And then we'll get to some of the state's top political headlines. Jonathan is co-founder of the Dakota Scout, and he's today's Dakota political junkie. He's seated across the table from me on this beautiful Southeast South Dakota day. It's nice out, right?
Oh, here? It's wonderful out. Yeah.
I apologize. I don't know what's happening in the rest of the state. I should be asking everybody. I just know that the sun is shining, and that makes me happy.
It's very nice here. The wind is down.
Yeah.
Yeah, very nice.
All right. So we were on a panel with Congressman Johnson out at Southeast Technical Institute on Monday, which is, you know, asking a lot because he could have asked us anything.
Yeah.
Usually we get to ask the questions. This time we had to answer them.
Yeah, we answered them. And we took questions from him, and we took questions from the students who were there. So it was a good event.
Yeah, I'm going to key things up by sharing a little audio from Congressman Johnson. I asked him after the event what he thought about some of the students' questions.
There was a lot of engagement in the media session. It seemed to me that they really are a little befuddled about the idea of where to go get information. They know it's important, but they don't know whether they should be checking two sources or three sources or four sources. Should they be, how do they have a proper diet of good information? And of course, the problem is there's no clear answers. It's not like you can say, here are the two media outlets who always have it right. Do 20 minutes here and 20 minutes there. Take two pills, call me in the morning. I mean, that's not how it works. It is probably the most difficult part of being a good citizen is knowing where to go get information. And I think we heard that from the students today.
All right. On that note, SDPB's Ryan Bozer says it's beautiful, but somewhat windy in the West. So you can trust that because it comes from Brian Bozer and SDPB.
I trust it.
Which was one of the points I was trying to make, and that's maybe a little bit of a luxury. At the media panel, I was saying, like, I sit down with Jonathan Ellis, so when I read one of your stories, I know you, I know your reporting, I know your reputation, and if there's something in there that I'm confused about, I'm going to send you a note and ask you. I know Ryan Bozer there on Morning Edition. If he tells me it's windy, I believe it. What did you note from the students and the sorts of things they were asking?
Well, there was, I took away positives and negatives. Part of that included, you know, a quiz in which the students were given an opportunity to vote on whether they thought a post, a social media post, was fake or real. And they seemed, by and large, they overwhelmingly were able to spot, you know, the differences. And they had good reasons for why they were able to spot what would be considered misinformation. Like, they didn't necessarily trust some rando person. They would look at a post and they saw like emojis that would sort of discredit it and the way it was something was framed. So they seemed to be pretty astute in that. I think where I kind of think we were wanting a little bit in terms of TikTok in particular, they seemed, and I'm the father of a high school aged kid, so I know that they get a lot of their information from TikTok, and they didn't really seem to have filters for where that originates from.
Yeah. So what I couldn't quite discern, and I wish we had a little more time to ask them, but when I did say, like, what kind of information are you getting from TikTok? Because I was trying to distinguish, is it, like, SDPB does not have a TikTok account, but is it, you know, I don't know who does, because I'm not on TikTok. Is it a well-known news organization's TikTok, or is it your friends doing TikTok? And the answer I got was just everything.
Everything.
Yeah. They just kept saying everything. Like everything. You get everything on TikTok. So it's not just a cat video. It's news. It's everything. And your point that I think I hear you making is they're not necessarily realizing where that originated from.
Right. It's you have to be discriminating in where you're getting your sources.
Do you have a TikTok? For Dakota Scout?
No, we do not.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying we should. I mean, I think that TikTok is something to be very wary of.
Yeah.
In the way that it has been used to sort of.
That's been our decision too here, organizationally, is that it's used, proceed with caution. However, the point was not lost on me that they were all looking at us like maybe we were old people at that point.
Yeah. Well. They would be correct.
All right. The Washington Post has a great TikTok.
Do they?
Yes.
Yeah,
I'm learning that from our producers.
So there are organizations
who are doing this really well.
Yep. I barely have time to even be on Twitter anymore, let alone, So I'm not saying that it doesn't have utility or value to news organizations. It probably does. It's a matter of, the time you're spending and in reaching that generation, obviously. Yeah.
So how will young people demand different kinds of coverage from the Dakota Scout? Like, how do you reach young audiences at Dakota Scout? What are some of the ways that you think about that, even if you don't have a 5-point strategic plan?
I'm not sure that we are. Necessarily.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, unless they're, are they picking up our print edition? Highly unlikely. I mean, maybe they are. I've seen some kids, I guess, reading it. But, that might be a demographic.
Do you care?
I do. Yeah, I do care. And that's something we probably have to try to figure out. Now, TikTok itself seems to be somewhat in peril. You have, very rarely in Congress do you get a lot of bipartisan support, but there is, on this particular issue, there's, bipartisan support of having it divesting the Chinese ownership. And we were asked about that. We were asked specifically, should we ban TikTok? And that's how that issue has been framed by TikTok, banning TikTok. And as that spread across TikTok a couple weeks ago, there were a number of users of that who were very distraught that Congress was going to, quote, ban it, when in fact it's a question of making the Chinese-backed firms that own it divesting themselves of that.
All right. Interesting stuff. Let's talk a little bit about what's happening in South Dakota. Headline from the Dakota Scout about Governor Kristi Noem's ongoing relationship with tribes. Some tribes are gathering and saying, you may not come here. Others have asked the question and said, no, we're not going to institute a ban. Tell me a little bit about this reporting.
Yeah, it's been ongoing now since January when she gave her sort of unprecedented joint legislative speech about what the conditions at the southern border. Obviously, I mean, that's an issue that has a lot of political currency with conservatives, and let's make no mistake about it. She's hoping to elevate her profile in the hopes of probably being, in the hopes of being Donald Trump's running mate. So let's be honest. I mean, it was used for political purposes. Let's also be honest that the reaction has also been very political as well. So Standing Rock is the latest tribe to ban her from their lands, joining Cheyenne River and Pine Ridge. I would say that those three, just historically, those three tribes have been probably a little more politically active.
Do you think it's equivalent? Because here's my question. It's a political conversation inherently. She has been accused by the tribes of using wildly irresponsible language. And they would say that they are responding to this probably in a political way by saying the governor can't come here. Yes, certainly that's a headline. Here we are talking about it. But I haven't seen in their language the kind of accusations against the governor that the governor was issuing against some of the tribes. So how do you, because I want to split the hair a little bit and not just say the whole thing, they're fighting again.
I think the initial reaction from the Ogallala Sioux was an overreaction. Okay,
you thought that's your opinion.
I listened,
this is analysis,
yes,
people.
Yeah. I was at the Capitol. I listened to the speech. In no way was she trying to blame the tribes for cartels. She was not, but some of their members took it that way that she was actually blaming them. And in fact, I would say that some of the language she used was even less forceful than what the tribal chairman had used when he was testifying to Congress about saying there were cartels on the land and they needed more protection, more police support. So I did not take that speech in the way that some of the tribes did. However, there's been an escalation since then in which when she was at a town hall in Winter, I believe it was in Winter, and it kind of came off, I think she was asked about that in passing, and she said that she thought that there were probably some tribal leaders or council members or whatever that were benefiting financially, implying that they're benefiting from an illegal drug trade that the cartels are sponsoring. That was quite an escalation. Again, I didn't think the initial speech. I kind of walked away from that when I started to hear the criticisms from the tribal members, kind of shaking my head, saying I didn't hear that in the speech, and I asked others. But we have had this escalation, and since that escalation, that's when you've had both Cheyenne River and now Standing Rock issue their proclamations.
So you deal with this all the time in the Dakota Scout. You run letters to the editor. People say things about, you know, really personal issues, highly politically charged issues. Part of your mission is to platform some of those things. Do you see the constructive use of some of these really heightened, charged issues? How do we put them out into the public so that there is some kind of constructive result? Or do you see your job as just like, hey, this person says this and this person says this? Thinking back to, we're talking to those kids again, and they would say, hey, well, how are you making those editorial decisions, Jonathan? You would say what? How would you respond to the kids if they asked you about some of the editorial decisions that you make as you cover what people are saying in the political atmosphere of South Dakota?
Well, I would say that certainly the, covering one of our tribal governments in this state and a decision that is pretty high profile, telling them that the governor can't come on their reservation. I would just say that's just very newsworthy. Yeah. And I would say that the events leading up to that have been newsworthy, and the reaction to that. So, I guess I have my own beliefs about the reactions and the speech itself, but I just think that those are. I just think that all of this has been very newsworthy, and this is something that goes back into history where they have tension over when she first came into office, the riot boosting or that she sponsored legislation there. There was a lot of, back and forth with regard to closing of roads during COVID when tribes were issuing lockdown orders and she said you can't close state roads. So there's been a lot of history of animosity.
Yeah. What did you hear from those students that they thought the top political issues were? They were playing Kahoot, which is an online game where they can use their phones and type things in. It shows up on a screen for us to see. Had you left?
I may not have been there.
I think you left. So afterwards, well, I will tell you what are some of the things that came up in the word cloud then. They all typed things in, and obviously some of it was, you know, they were joking. They typed in one of their favorite classmates' name a bunch of times so that his name showed up really big, and that was funny. But then they also had education as one of their top concerns, the national debt. Climate change and global warming showed up. So I would say if you put those two together, you would have seen an even bigger word cloud for how they care about the environment. Are we in the media covering the stories that young people care about enough? Because education was top of the list.
Well, that's very broad, right? Education can be...
Kahoot is not known for its specificity.
Okay.
But
my first exposure to Kahoot.
To Kahoot.
Is it education? I mean... colleges have gotten very expensive. You do have to take on a lot of debt now. And the question, I mean, do you go to college and get a degree that comes? I'm sure they're probably not worried about what the school board is talking about, right? I mean, I don't know. But so
judging, of course, they're high school students. Judging from the turnout at the Sioux Falls school board election, they're not racing to the polls. But those kids would have been too young to race to the polls, so that's not fair.
That's true, yeah. Education, I mean, I feel like we cover education and sort of the issues around it. I don't know, but again, without knowing specifically what their interests are. And, of course, you know, you've seen the Biden administration deal again with education in terms of that issue.
We're going to see that all the way to Election Day.
I wonder why.
We're going to be talking about that to Election Day. Before I let you go, any other stories from the Scout that you want to lift up and elevate today that's happening in the state that you think people, young and old, should be paying attention to? What are you watching?
Well, you know, this is a very local story, but the Lincoln County Commission is moving forward with a tax increment financing district to pay for its portion of the 85th Street interchange, and that's a big issue for Sioux Falls. It's going to be a massive development that's coming. And then we have a follow-up to the dairy story we did a couple of weeks ago. South Dakota really has, in the last decade, emerged as quite a power in the dairy industry.
Interesting, and that's a huge international trade. I gotta dig into my mental files about Canada and dairy and NAFTA. and remind myself of how all that intersects. We'll talk about it again. Jonathan Ellis with the Dakota Scout. You can find those free copies of the newspaper around the state or the city. Where do you distribute?
I mean, we're in Pure. We're in Aberdeen. Okay. We're all around the Sioux Falls area, Madison, you know.
Yeah. And then online, of course.
Online is where it's at.
That's where it's at.
Yep.
We'll see you next time.
Thank you.